A busy Thursday show, April 18th, 2024, on Connecticut Today, where we checked in with only Bridgeport blogger Lenny Grimaldi for his weekly update on all things Bridgeport. I also had a few thoughts on possibly lowering Connecticut's legal blood alcohol content limit for drivers from 0.08% to 0.05%. The website, of course, onlyinbridgeport.com, the guy who does this, pouring his heart and soul into it, Lenny Grimaldi with us. Lenny, good afternoon. How are you?
Ding, 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 ding. We have a Trump jury.
We have a jury. Oh, man. Oh, man. This thing, we'll get to that momentarily, but boy, yeah. this thing is going to be just must-see TV. Oh, my God. All right, before we
So what do you want to talk about?
Well, we do have to talk about Bridgeport a little bit. One of your latest postings here, Joe Ganim lifting up the jump shots here. He's maintaining his pre-election energy, you say.
Yeah, he's even playing basketball with kids a fraction of his age. He threw up an air ball the other day, but pretty impressive him going up and down the court with 15 and 16-year-olds. But, yeah, so we talked about this during this extended odyssey that was the mayoral campaign. Could he maintain the energy? And, you know, right now he is. I mean, he's all over the place, you know. And so it's not like he, you know, said, I won and taking it for granted and I'm going to, you know, take a trip to Tahiti for 3 months and come back. He's you know, governmentally very, very engaged in what's going on. I think he got a scare.
Yeah.
He's not taking it for granted, even though, you know, the first two of the four votes were very, very close, but the last one he won by 20 points.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, I listed all the things based on his Facebook page that he did just over the weekend. And so he seems to be really engaged, and that's important as you have a lot of development projects that are teed up and ready to go. And the more the mayor is engaged, the more he can – you know, provide some inspiration to municipal employees and also, you know, market the city. So there's a lot of ifs that are going on in Bridgeport right now. As I pointed out, you know, the Steelport Harbor housing going up.
Yeah.
Particularly the soccer stand proposal, the proposal for the lithium battery manufacturing plant, the Fillmore Music venue. So if those pop, you know, you would have some transformational things. They're big ifs, definitely, for sure. But you have a much better chance of these happening if you have an engaged chief of executive.
Well, like you say, sometimes, what's that old phrase, Lenny? Fear is life's greatest motivator. And maybe this recharged him, right? Maybe it did, and that's good for the city.
Oh, definitely. It definitely was a kick in the pants for him. And right, he's not taking it for granted. He's all over the place. So it's good to see. You know, even though he throws up an air ball every now and then.
Listen, even the best shooters throw up air balls. You talk about here in one of your posts, and this is a fascinating story, the role of the Bridgeport-Hartford delegation in a new rule or regulation for hairstylists around the state.
Yeah, I like this one because I thought about you when I was writing this, because you and I don't have this problem because we have no hair.
Nothing. No, very little. Yeah.
You know, we've got ponytails growing on our backs, but But so this is a bill that was co-sponsored by Bridgeport State Rep. Fred G. And it requires hairdresser training to work with textured hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it was approved overwhelmingly by the state Senate. It's not before the House. So basically you've had a number of constituents who went to their, you know, local delegation and said, you know what, you know, a lot of people that I go to, they don't know how to work with textured hair.
Yeah.
You know, curly hair or wavy hair and so on. And there's definitely some cultural diversity that's involved here. And so it looks like this is going to pass. And so basically what State Senator Aaron Gasson has said, and I quoted him, that the bill would add training for working with hair with various curls, coils, wave patterns, hair strand thickness, and volumes of hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's caused some interesting, you know, dialogue on Only in Bridgeport. You know, is this what we should be focused on? But when you have constituents going, you know, to their, you know, to their legislative leaders saying, hey, listen, you know, this is something that you should address. And it's, you know, it looks like it's going to go headed for passage and go to the governor's desk.
It looks like the creative response I see, Lenny, to this story is are we creating herapists?
Yes. That's part of the fascination of OAB.
Yeah.
You know? the comment section. You know?
Oh, yeah. There is nothing better than when you and the commenters start going back and forth. They don't do that at the New York Times or at NPR, but we'll just leave that there. Yeah. Sliver by the River. What is that about?
Oh, yeah. So Sliver by the River was announced a couple of days ago. I love these kinds of stories because there's a historical texture to it. So in 1979, the old Bridgeport train station was destroyed by fire. And so nothing's really been there for forever. So you're talking about downtown along the Pequannock River,
all right,
the initial piece of Stratford Avenue that goes over the east side, but it's technically downtown. So the other day, the mayor announced, backed by a $1 million grant from the U.S. Park Service, that there's going to be a recreational park coming to downtown on that site of the old fire station along the Pequannock River. So it's really it's going to be green space, and it's called Sliver by the River, and this is going to be part of like a 20-mile radius. That an organization, it's a national organization called Trust for Public Land. It's a nonprofit organization that creates park space and green spaces for urban areas. So, you know, when it's completed, totally, you're going to have community gatherings, food trucks, destination for fishing, kayaking, and canoeing. And so the federal grant is going to really compose the first portion of this. It's not going to happen overnight. You'll have access to the destination, but the completeness will not take place for a year or two. So.
Got it. But at least the ball is rolling. 21 past 5, news, traffic and weather together, all that coming up. Your old boss, a judge, has sworn in the jurors for his hush money trial. So we're all set to get this going. I guess he'll have chances to pull into more bodegas in the city. But I got to tell you, his visuals in this is still good, Lenny. He had that crowd of that bodega, and he's pressing the flesh and everything. But what do you think he's thinking right now? And how much do you think this is going to hurt his momentum, or will it? Do you think it will?
Well, I think for him, it's a four-letter word. It's icky, right? This is going to be a very icky process. And, you know, it's finally here for him that he's actually going to go, you know, to trial. And there's going to be a jury. They have to pick some alternatives. And this is going to take many, many twists and turns. You know, I look at this process and I go, will he take the stand? Will Melania want him to take the stand? You know, his wife. And this is a very engaging trial because it's very, very personal. And so, he's like, you know, my old boss is like the circus that never left town. So he's probably going to turn this, depending on how it goes, into a freak show because, he likes to mix it up. He likes to divide and conquer. He likes the chaos. And so right now I think he's annoyed by this process. But there's a piece of him, from my perspective, that he could enjoy, depending on how it goes. Now, will he take the stand? It depends on how it shakes out here. But if he does take the stand, holy cow, you know, then it could be very tricky for him because he has to answer the question.
Yeah.
So I think his lawyers are going to say, no, we don't want you up there. But he's paying the bills.
Or the RNC's paying the bills.
Right, yeah. Or somebody else. Or someone else's money. You're right. Someone else's money. That's a great point. So he's going to be, that to me is going to, how this shakes out, weeks down the road, But you know what? Grab the popcorn, sit back, have a good time. This is going to be the first of the four rodeos, but this could be the most engaging, as I say, icky one.
Yeah,
of the four.
Yeah, Lenny, when you know, he's already been accused, I guess, by the prosecution here and by attorneys of violating the gag order. Well, will he, if he doesn't take the stand, which I agree with you, I don't think he will. Does he come out and basically after every court day, does he go to a different bodega and do a news conference every day? And somebody said in the media, like, he's not going to shut up. So does the court, does the court dare put him in jail? In other words, is he going to say, go ahead, put me in jail, watch what happens?
I think they would start with fines, but yes, yes, and yes. He's going to, he loves his audience. Right.
Yeah.
And he's going to turn this into, Hollywood access. let's do it again. But yeah, he's going to push it. He's going to push it as far as he can push it. And they won't. They'll start with fines if they feel like he's being a bad boy. And ultimately, if he pushes it even further, maybe something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, sit back and enjoy it.
Lenny Grimaldi is the guy. The website, onlyinbridgeport.com. Lenny, thanks, and we'll chat next Thursday. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Lenny Grimaldi there. So sometimes I know that in society, the best among us, people who've been touched by tragedy, lawmakers, whatever, try to do right. You know, you try as best you can to do the right thing. But sometimes overreaching or sometimes doing something to be right might not be the best thing here. What am I talking about here? And look, how many of us in society now over the years have had it drilled into us that the blood alcohol level, that is the societal marker, as it were, to dictate when somebody is impaired, the national level recognized, and you have to be at this level in order to get federal funding, is 0.08 or 0.08% blood alcohol, or 0.08% of blood alcohol is enough to legally determine you to be in some way, shape, or form possibly impaired. And yesterday there was a gathering of people, some of whom who have lost loved ones to drunk driving accidents at the state capitol, who for some reason want this lowered to 0.05. Push comes as traffic fatalities, says here on Channel 30's website, continue to rise, and supporters say this change could help reverse that trend. Now, they don't say it will help. They say it could help. And that's the whole thing. Leah Walton, a member of the National Transportation Safety Board, said, let me be clear, 0.05 saves lives. Well, does it? Do we know that? We only have one state that's at 0.05. The law. Now, get this. Now, here's the confusing part. And here's the part that gives me a little, gives me pause on this. The law. Now, this is important to understand if you like to go out and responsibly enjoy an adult beverage, not talking about getting stone flat out drunk and then, you know, getting behind the wheel of your vehicle. That's patently irresponsible. And you are, you are putting your own life, the lives of anyone with you and the lives of anybody on the road driving at the same time as you are in danger. Now, get this. And this is why this gives me pause here. So the law, if this was passed, now we're at 0.08 blood alcohol. Anything above that, at 0.08 or higher, everybody knows by now, you're considered DUI. Below that, you're okay. But the law would not change existing laws around drunk driving. including the blood alcohol limit for driving under the influence being 0.8. The bill would instead create a driving while ability impaired offense for drivers with a blood alcohol between 0.05 and 0.08. Those drivers would not face criminal charges, but they can have their licenses suspended for 45 days and face other penalties. Why are we doing this? Why? Now, hopefully this won't pass. And the reason I say hopefully, it's not that I'm sitting here and in some way, shape, or form, you know, endorsing drunk driving. I'm not. But what's the point of this? Are we trying to create problems for people? Now, you say, well, Paul, 0.05 means there's less alcohol. All right. Well, if 0.05 is such a good idea, right, why has only one state done it? Why do 49 out of the 50 states consider, with pretty much the blessings and the imprimatur of the federal government, why do 49 states consider 0.08 okay? And now all of a sudden we have, and I understand part of this was, you know, with the impetus of people that have lost loved ones, daughters, kids from drunk drivers. I fully understand that. But adding this layer of, and they say it's not criminality, but adding a layer of legal penalties in some way to someone who has never been considered or arrested under the influence before, what does that actually prove? See, this reeks to me of, and I'm somebody who rarely drinks. I get it. I understand it. When I'm out, maybe once every other month, I'll have a mixed drink or a beer if I'm having a full meal. But the bill being considered in Hartford would create a driving while ability impaired offense for drivers with a blood alcohol level of between 0.05 and 0.08. So we're creating criminality. See, because here's my point. Do we have, maybe we do, I don't know. But do we have any physical, empirical data? I'm not talking about emotion here. And yes, I understand there are a lot of emotional aspects to this. If you're involved with a drunk driver, you get that or whatever. I understand that. But do we have empirical data that says that there are people that cause accidents if they're at 0.06 or 0.07? Because to me, all you hear about in the people that get involved in these accidents, right? You hear it from me. You hear it from Melissa. You hear it from Lisa in the midday. You hear it on our national news. The suspect was found to have a blood alcohol level of three times the legal limit or two times the legal limit. So the bill would create a driving while ability impaired offense for drivers with a blood alcohol level of not above 0.08, but between 0.05 and 0.08. Now, it says here the drivers would not face criminal charges, but they can have their licenses suspended for 45 days and face other penalties. If they're only at 0.7, which is completely legal in 48 other states, how does that make any sense? Additionally, the reporter would require the Department of Transportation to make annual reports to the General Assembly around technology to determine if drivers are impaired by marijuana at the time of a motor vehicle stop. So, yeah, that we need. Utah has lowered its blood alcohol limit, but State Rep. Matt Ritter, House Speaker, Democrat, says he's not in favor of making a similar change. He said, quote, "I think the federal government has set a standard, and if you're going to do something, it's best to do it regionally." And I agree with Speaker Ritter on this. What do you think here? What's the real motivation here? Do we have rock solid evidence here that there would be, and maybe we do, and I just don't see it. Do we have rock solid evidence here that reducing the blood alcohol limit in Connecticut from 0.08 to 0.05 would make that much of a difference? And again, I know what you're going to say. And to a point, it might be that the less alcohol you take in, the better, which I guess if operating a motor vehicle or any other type of vehicle is okay. But aren't we creating some sort of criminality here where it doesn't exist? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Are you in favor of creating what would not be a DUI level, that's 0.08 or above? But would you be in favor instead of creating a new charge? Think about this. Listen to this. A new charge of driving while ability impaired for drivers with a blood alcohol level of between 0.05 and 0.08. Does that make any sense? Do we know that this will save lives? Well, Paul, we should at least try. Well, we should try, maybe, but what if somebody gets pulled over at a checkpoint and they're 0.06? They can still have their license suspended for 45 days. Is that fair? I mean, come on, honestly. And I'm all for keeping drunk drivers and drug-using drivers off the road here. But really, we're going to create another level of law enforcement here? So somebody at 0.05, at 0.08 currently is okay. So we have to drop that to 0.05. Why exactly? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And again, I in no way, shape, or form take lightly the people. And I know there were people on hand in Hartford yesterday talking about this who had lost loved ones to drunk drivers. I understand that. I lost a loved one to somebody with a gun. So I understand how these hot-button issues can affect you. But really, we're going to go from 0.08 to 0.05. Why? Why don't we go to zero? Right? Why don't we just go to zero? Why don't we outlaw all alcohol? Now, I know what you're saying. That's being a little blustery. I get it. I understand it. But, right? Does this make any sense at all? It's been decades in Connecticut, including in other areas where, you know, 0.08 is the accepted norm, and I think you have to be at 0.08 for the feds to give you a highway funding or transportation funding. So are we not going to possibly get innocent people ensnared in some sort of legal trap here? Because, okay, they weren't at 0.08, but hey, 0.06, you know, you're impaired. I don't get that. I just don't.